morning to you all. One little verse this morning, it's a special message, a New Year's message. Judges chapter 21, the last chapter, the last verse of Judges. We have a saying in English, when the cat's away, the mice will play. And that pretty much is what the word is saying here, is when there is no king, anarchy rules. Verse 25 of Judges 21. In those days, Israel had no king. Everyone did as he saw fit. Can we just pray, please? Almighty God, I pray for a special anointing over my word this morning. I pray that you will give those people who you are calling ears to hear. Lord, I realize, Lord, everything I say may not be very palatable, but I pray for your grace to convict truth. And I pray for your children to discern that which comes from you from that which is false. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, on this last Sunday morning of 2018, I felt it would be a good time for me to give you a special New Year's message. And also, this is the last time I'll be preaching a New Year's message in this church. So, what to preach? It's got to be something significant. It always has to be. And it has to be something specifically relevant. And after much prayer, I felt that I am being compelled to share with you the greatest concern I have for the evangelical church of today. I think, now hey, you don't have to take this as you like it, but after 30 years of doing this job, this is the thing that I'm worried about most. But I'm not sharing my concern. I will be speaking from what I know God's word is implying this morning. Our reading for today is one little verse. In those days, in the days of the judges, Israel had no king, and consequently, everyone did as he saw fit. The Hebrew puts it like this: Kal asher katov Ba'ayin him. Everyone did as was good in their own eyes. Can you imagine the chaos of those days in the days of Judges? Absolute chaos, a free for all. Everybody was doing their own thing. And our reading tells us specifically why this was so. Because there was no king in Israel. No reigning authority. It must have been pretty chaotic, hey? Political, religious, social anarchy. Anarchy simply means without a ruler, without control, without restraint. And the crazy thing is what we read here is we're not being told about the Babylonians or the Philistines or the Egyptians. We're reading about God's redeemed people. The people of God. Ancient Israel, God's holy nation. We read there's no king, and implied in that is therefore everybody did what was right in their own eyes. Now, in the light of the reading that was read by Brenda just before I came up, I believe that what was being said there can be very much pointed down into a pivot point with this verse. I hope you realize we're living in the last days. By the last days, I don't mean last days a la Hal Lindsey. I mean the last days are the days, according to Scripture, from the time that Christ has come. These are the last days. And just as we read here of political and social anarchy in ancient Israel, we need to be warned, we're living in an age very much like that. Yes, God's people, God's spiritual Israel are to a large extent existing in a state of spiritual anarchy. People in today's churches are living as they see fit. Church people can preach, believe, practice, even evangelize according to the spectacles they're wearing. The way they see things is the way they practice their faith. Have you ever heard people argue like this? Oh, I don't agree with you. I see it this way. Or, I don't see it the way you see it. This is the way it looks to me. Why do you think are there so many evangelical churches preaching from the same Bible and yet all coming up with different conclusions, all placing different emphases on different portions of Scripture, sometimes flatly contradicting other churches? We can't all be right, can we? So what's wrong? I suggest we are living in the fulfillment of Timothy 2. We are living in an age of spiritual anarchy. And I'm convinced it's because we live as if we had no king. You may say, no, surely not. Listen, the kingship of Jesus Christ is represented in every truly biblical church by its total submission to the written word of God. The scriptures are always king in a truly evangelical church. Jesus put it this way. He said, why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not do what I say? God's word is living and active in a truly evangelical church. Now you may say, but hold on, don't most churches, evangelical churches, have Bibles? Don't they teach the Bible? Don't they preach the Bible? Well, yes, of course they do, but please listen. Many read it according to how they see things. They read it according to what appeals to their vision, their world view. They will judge the reading of Scripture by their vision of what is important, what is not important, what is priority and what is not. We are, because we don't take the Bible as king with that authority, very often living our scriptures as we see fit. I'll give you an example. I preached once on Judgment Day. It wasn't in this church, so don't look around. And I remember someone got me afterwards and said, I could totally disagree with what you said about Judgment Day. And I was expecting an argument from Scripture. And I said, okay, why? And this person said, well, I don't see it that way. This is the way it looks or seems to me. Well, exactly. When there's no absolute authority, when you take away the king, people will do, even in God's redeemed family, as they see fit. Asher, what's the word? Ra'am tov, as they see, as their vision. They will judge the scriptures through the lenses of their own interpretations. And that is why we have so many churches reading the same Bible. Now listen, the Bible's not hard to understand. I've had 30 years of studying the original languages. I promise you, it's not hard to understand. You can teach it to a child. But people read as they see fit. And that is why, even today, we have an anarchy among the people of God. What's the difference, some of you will know this from the studies we've done, between exegesis and eisegesis? Bible study words, so you should be coming to Bible study. Exegesis is the drawing out of truth, the gathering of doctrines from Scripture. Eisegesis is the opposite. It's the reading in our own presuppositions and worldview. And it's happening, people. People with a clear conscience can read the Bible and basically be telling you what they think. And they'll come to the conclusions that are inevitably obvious. So what are we to do if people no longer respect the kingship of God's word? Firstly, and I think I'm going to do a little bit more of Adam's ale if someone could get it for me. Sorry, running out of steam. We need to get off our high horses and stop believing in ourselves. We sometimes have more faith in our worldview and our experiences and how we think things should pan out and our opinions than we have in the absolute authority and inspiration of Scripture. We must stop believing in ourselves. The Bible says that the heart of man is desperately wicked and deceitful above all things. We're warned. I don't need two glasses. I'm not going to drown myself. All right, never know. You never know the way I'm going through this. There is a way that seems right to a man. People, watch your opinions, because it ends in death. I've been in Bible studies where we've looked at a passage of scripture pregnant with doctrine. You'd expect the doctrine to be drawn out. And at the end of the study, we're told by the leader, okay, people, what do you see in the passage that we've just read? How do you read it? What do you see in this passage? For goodness sake. The heart of man is desperately wicked and deceitful. Don't teach people to read into the Bible. Draw the truth out, and the truth will have a life-changing effect upon them. Unless you don't believe in the power that's living and active in the Word. We need to not believe so much in our own worldviews, our own opinions, because the Bible warns us it will lead us to destruction. And if you believe in your own opinions, and if in all honesty, you reading your opinions into the Bible, picking and choosing how you read it and edit it, you render yourself unteachable. And it breaks my heart. There are unteachable people in God's word. People who think they know it all. And they read the Bible pretty much knowing what they're going to get. The Bible tells us many things that are going to be counterintuitive. In other words, there'll be things in this Bible that are going to shock you, that you'll probably even be scandalized by. But you've got to take it because it's God's word. You can't say, well, I don't see it that way. Surely it must mean something else. The Bible is going to frighten you sometimes. It's going to expose skeletons in your cupboards that you might have to face up to. The Bible's going to make you do things you might not want to do if you read it as it stands. And many people come to this frightening book that changes lives, and the danger is they're not exegeting, they're eisegeting. They're reading their own interpretation back into that book, and after 30 years I can tell you that's what I've seen again and again. People can quote you scripture and verse, but they're reading through the lenses of subjectivity. They're not reading the Bible doctrinally, but interpretively. And we need to submit to the final authority of Scripture. We need to let the Bible be king in our churches. If God said it, that settles it. Even if it don't make sense to me. Because God's word is yea and amen. We can't keep reinterpreting it to suit the generation. And it's happening, people. The Bible's, we don't have to rewrite it. It's reread by this generation. Sexuality has been totally reread. Discipline's been totally reread. Doctrines like predestination, which is the very foundation of our faith, is denied by many people who know their Bible so well. They're just not reading it. So we first must get off our high horses and not be so sure of our own opinions. Be teachable. Be like little children. Secondly, we need to respect this book as literally being the very word of God. God is speaking. And if you don't believe that, you're not a Christian. God wants to speak to you, and he has something to say, and it's going to shock you, and it's going to shake your life up, but he's speaking. We must not read this book eisegetically, but exegetically. This book must be read in order to gain the doctrines from within. Not read our own interpretations into it. Please let God speak. Let God say things to you from this book that even if you don't like it, even if it doesn't make sense, even if it shakes up your confidence, let him speak to you. And I promise you, you won't regret it in the long run. You know, the Bible is so clear, it's not complicated. If we just read it contextually, historically, and grammatically, it consistently, from Genesis to Revelation, has one message. And from that message, we can construct a systematic theology by which we can live and die. But nowadays, that's not the way it's being done. We've got the book, and then we're reading what we want to read into it. We're reading those things that seem to back us up and all the little proof texts that support our beliefs. Let God speak. Just very quickly, in the light of that, study God's word and study it exegetically. It breaks my heart when I know there are people that seem to feel they've got nothing new to learn from the Bible. They don't need doctrine. The Bible's there just as a roadmap that you read your word and world into. That's not true. God transforms us by the truth of this book. God is speaking. And he's speaking clearly. And I say this as a linguist. Linguist, I think that is what it is. All right, someone that studied the language. I say this from behind the pulpit as well. This book is not hard to understand. The reason we have so many different churches and flavors of Christianity is because people are reading it subjectively and eisegetically. They're not reading it submitted to the authority that it gives. If we all read grammatically, historically, and contextually the same book, we'd all have to come to the same conclusion. It's not complicated. A child can understand it. The problem is we are reading with our own presuppositions. You've got to surrender that. Please, let's be committed people of the book. And the reason why there's so much confusion in our churches, I believe, today is in fulfillment of Paul's warning to Timothy. Because the king represented by scriptural authority, is not in its rightful place. And therefore people do as they see fit. Go into this year saying whatever this book clearly says, I will receive as the word of God. Even if I don't like what it says. Even if it doesn't suit the culture. Let's pray. Oh Father, in Jesus' name, thank you for this book that's changed my life radically. Thank you for this book that's given me a view into the world to come. Hope for eternity. Meaning to this life of confusion. And I pray that I will hear your word. That I will stop making it what I want it to be. And I will receive this book doctrinally. Oh Father God, I pray that you will instruct me and teach me in the way I should go. And I pray for every brother and sister in this building right now that they will realize all they have, their point of contact with the world beyond, is this book. But it's not enough just to have the book, Lord. Help us to read it as little children, submitted to the King of Kings. Amen.